Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning begins with the question from the disciples to Jesus. Who sinned, this man or his parents? They're trying to understand that age-old question of what causes suffering in the world. It seems for us in the modern age a ridiculous question on its face. This man is blind. Who sinned, he or his parents? Our modern scientific sense knows full well that this man who was born blind from birth had nothing to do with sin at all, but more likely with genetics, or at the very worst, maybe something happened in his prenatal care, or an accident happened during delivery and the man was born blind. But for us, sin does not come into the picture. But in Jesus' time, a disease of the body or even of the mind might often attempt to be traced back to sin. Suffering was considered in some circles to be a punishment, as it says even in the lesson in Leviticus, a punishment into the seventh generation. Something happened in the past that caused this terrible thing. And sometimes that something could be traced back to moral failure, to sin. So the disciples are trying to unravel what happened to this man. They identify the man by his disease, by his shortcomings. In fact, the author of the gospel doesn't even give the man a name. He is simply known to us and by the disciples as the man born blind. And his identity is as the blind man, even after he is no longer blind. In fact, when he receives his sight back, after Jesus takes the dirt and spits at it and makes mud, one of the, I think, classic scenes of the Bible that even Cecil B. DeMille could not have improved on, he takes the mud and he puts it in the man's eyes. And after he then can see, it's as if his own community does not recognize him apart from his blindness. His identity is tied up in his disease. After Jesus heals him, the crowd isn't sure. Even his parents, who know who he is, are a little bit quick to disown him, because they're afraid. Yes, he's the one who was born blind, but we have no idea how he got any better. We even refer to the story as the story about the blind man. Well, we can certainly understand that. It's really so much easier to say, oh yeah, the blind man. Yeah, that guy. We remember the blind man. It's so much easier to say that than, oh yeah, that's the guy who used to be blind but was healed by that itinerant preacher with mud in his eyes and now delivers the milk. It's a much longer epithet. The man encounters Jesus and the story changes. It's no longer a story about the man who is blind, but a story about the one who is healed and the community that surrounds him. The man encounters Jesus' disciples and the question, whose fault is it that he was born blind? And it is met with the answer, I am. Seems weird. The man wants, they want to know whose sin caused this particular malady. And in the end of the story, Jesus says, I am the one in whom that you have been looking for. I am the one. His answer is different than the question. I wonder sometimes, though, are we any different today? I mean, I'd like for us to believe that on the one hand, we no longer really identify people through their maladies, and that we see with the kind of clarity and maturity that the blind man comes to see and that Jesus sees. I'd love to believe that that was true. But we do, in fact, kind of refer to one another in the same way. Oh, yeah, she's the fat lady. Oh, yeah, he's the tall, good-looking, bald guy. Yeah, that's married to the musician. Oh! Yeah, if you want to know for sure that we still think this way and that even that sometimes we connect those things with sin, just talk with the parent of a child with Down syndrome. You would think that we were past the idea that the problems that children have, especially medical problems, have little or nothing to do with the sin of the parents. And yet when you look into the eyes of so many parents whose children have Downs or other afflictions, other conditions, so often there is this remaining guilt. What have I done wrong that this should happen? And they report to me in their encounters with strangers, that question seems to linger, maybe unsaid, but it's there. In the television show Doc Martin, have you ever seen this show? You have to see it. He's a nut, okay? He plays the part of a physician in a small town in England, in Cornwall. And he has one, he's a great doctor, but he lacks the social graces, to put it mildly. And so if your name is Naomi and you have a stomach ache, you are not Naomi with the stomach ache. He says, just send in the stomach ache. And his secretary will say, Naomi. And he says, yes, the stomach ache. So often that's all the deeper we go as well. But Jesus calls the community around the blind man and us into a deeper understanding. He is not just the blind man. He is the one who now will bring light, Jesus says. This now becomes a story about how God's word will be revealed, that Jesus truly is the one who is the Son of God, sent into the world. And when the blind man at the end of the story makes his confession, everything changes. The community doesn't seem to get it, and even the Pharisees don't understand how ironic it is that it is the blind man who sees who Jesus is, and the ones who ought to know and see everything see nothing. And in the gospel lesson, it just goes right over their heads, but not over ours. Robert Hoke, in his commentary on this text, says we have an analog to blindness in our age as well. He posits the possibility that, in a way, Alzheimer's is the new blindness. We identify people not by their name or their history, but, oh yes, as if it is their identity. Yes, you know, she has Alzheimer's. But inside that person with Alzheimer's is the true self. I've included in your bulletin, yes, we did a show and tell today. So pull this out, look at it. It's not just to be pretty, it's part of the sermon today. This is a piece of fiber art by an artist whose name is Michelle Billieu. And this was referenced in a commentary, and I emailed Michelle and asked her permission to use this. in the sermon today. This is a piece of art that she did. Michelle's mother has Alzheimer's. And she seems to kind of get this whole idea of the double illumination that happens with the blind man. Not only does he see, but he really sees. In the same way, she says about her mother, she says that, like my mother's memory, this art quilt consists of many layers, tangles, and threads, with spots of clarity and light hidden amidst the colorful but often chaotic surface layer. The name of the piece is Mama's Brain Got Tangles, But Mama's Still Inside. The struggle that we often have with Alzheimer's patients and with people who suffer from dementia is to see the person that they are, not the person on the surface. The community struggled to see the blind man for who he was as a child of God and a child of the light, but saw only his blindness even after he could see. Bilyeu offers this prayer for Alzheimer's patients, and I think it's the prayer for each of us as well, as an expression of the gospel. She writes, I pray that caregivers and family members will care for their patients and loved ones as the people they truly are, not just who they seem to have become. They are children of light, just as you and I are children of light. So the blind man was made to see, and God's word was revealed. And in this story, God helps us to see one another and our community in a new way, so that we too are children of light. Amen.